praise God for putting on the mock man.
Spider. Yes. Last month and a half, I've been doing a series on the Gospel of Jesus. I struggled immensely with this message. In struggling, not struggling because it's phenomenal, trying to do one time, trying to get the 10 of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, just the Beatitudes, into one message is the hardest thing I've ever done, and I'm going to attempt, Mr. Ray over there, I'm going to attempt to get you through the Beatitudes this morning. Your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, hold you up, put your finger there, hold your Bible up. I believe that this we really need to get correct. Word of God. That trust and obey. What is true from Jesus' revelations? Today, my heart is receptive and my spirit is alive. And I learned to submit my will and forever changed. A child of the living God. And Jesus. Amen. Matthew, we've already got this now off the mountaintop. Really excited. Making disciples. To make us came in the understanding that now time is the people around him. And it says, starting at verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and he waited his kingdom. Then he opened it and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the faithful, for they shall take mercy. Blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for their kingdom of heaven. They revile and persecute you, all kinds of people, and falsely rise. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, for the message. I pray for your anointing, understanding, wisdom. I pray that we have what you have to say in your mind and ever said, amen. Let me give you some prelude of what's taking place here. Jesus, we've come in before time. We've got a testimony. We've got his childhood life taken care of. We've got the last swap when he became from a carpenter minister. We've got Lord of temptations. We've got coming off the mountain and making fishers of men. All this takes. Now he had a following. We've got the following, and he sees a multitude coming. He's healing the sick. He's leaving, you know, he's teaching. He's raising the dead. You know, healing demonic people. These are all taking place. And the multitude is upon him. So now he comes to the conclusion, it's time. It's time. It goes to the mountain. This is the sermon recorded in the New Testament. It's having been preached by Jesus. Hi, sweetie. It begins with the promise of happiness. 9 times, the voice of Jesus reached out to the dudes on that side. People are politically, socially, and economically. With the offer of genuine peace. Now, that's pretty. He was something that they needed. He was offering something they did not have. He was offering encouragement, an understanding. Bush was a tentative as this young fellow. Here's a question. One Sunday, they drove from church, and a girl turned to her mother and said, Mommy, there's something about preacher's message this morning that I do not understand. And the mother said, oh, what is it? And the girl replied, he said, God is bigger than we are. He said, God is so big in the whole world. And he replied, yes, dear, that is true. But he also said that God comes to live inside of us when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Is that true, Mom? Again, the mother heard a little that what the preacher said was true. Well, Mary looked at the little girl and asked, if God is bigger than us, he lives in us, we through the undefiled is exactly what is needed. It's exactly what the Beatitudes talk. It talks about God showing through. It has always been said that in God's purpose, that when he in our lives, he would be allowed to so fulfill us and control us that he would show through. Is that true? That's what God is. That's what God wants. He wants to show through you. And there are so much of God in you. God through you. Thing that shows through you. Well, then I have a question for you. How can God? I'm glad you asked that. If you're going to the kingdom, you'll have to learn to live a kingly life. That He would be visible in our attitudes, actions, and that Christ Himself would be out to live in us. He'd be out to the light bulb. This okay. And where he comes, all of a sudden something's a loud bling. That's what it should be. A light bulb. And it's turned off the power of God. When the power is so strong in you, the light bulbs. That's what I need. And he doesn't want the light bulb of the world. He doesn't want the gun. He doesn't want you to get it. He doesn't want you to get it. So he can keep the light bulb out. He can get the Lord to keep the shining bulb. He'll do that. Attitudes begin coming. The light bulb shines. You finally figure out that's the power of God. That's what God wants. God will show through me. Bling. Remember that. That's a little something you can always remember because that little play or that little cartoon, you know, that out of the whole cartoon, that's what I remembered. Bling. Him around. Bling. You know? So that's something that you can remember. The light bulb is going to click. When the Holy Spirit clicks in you, enlightens you, and God comes to you, and all of us say, wow, that's what it's all about. That's what the power of God's about. You understand? Well, you know what? I have a question for this morning. How would life be different if Jesus were to come and take your place? What if He took your place in your home? Your place in your job? Is that at school? What if He filled my place at the pulpit? Well, that's exactly what He wants to. He comes to live within us, to mortify the carnal world of this body, master the circumstances of my life, manifest His character, and minister to others my life every day. That's what He wants to do. That's what the Beatitudes are about. And I'm going to start to give you Beatitudes this morning. Now, Jesus starts off with one verse. How many of you this morning want to be blessed? I'll pray for the rest of you. How does anybody want to be blessed? See, you understand? We all want to be blessed. So Jesus understood that. It was something He's going to get their attention. He knew how to get their attention. He said, blessed. Now, let me give you what the Amplified blessed. Can't, if I do every verse on that when I want to be the very first thing. It says blessed. It said, blessed, happy, fairly prosperous, life, joy, and satisfaction, comfort, and affection, regardless of their outward conditions. Are the spirit, the humble, who rate themselves insignificant, this is the kingdom of God. See, he knew what to do. He knew if you grasp the attention, he listened to the time of that. I think the problem with every minister is the attention. And I'm sorry to say there are a lot of churches that get in the wrong way. You want to be grab a hold of this, grab a hold of every one of them, and I guarantee you, according to God's word, according to Jesus, you will be blessed. Now let me take you on through these. Verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we are supposed to be Jesus, and Jesus lives with, and we have to understand the character of Jesus. I think Jesus was his full character in the end. The very first thing that we need to understand that Jesus was for it. Although he was Almighty God, with all the right privileges of deity, made himself a reputation, took upon himself the face of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. He humbled himself and came obedient unto death, even to the death of us. Was he poor in spirit? You look at the records. For it said, those who mourn, for they shall be, I believe, numerous times, it's about Jesus mourning. Jesus mourned. Right. He went over Jerusalem, and in the ship. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Jesus was giving his attributes for you. And if you could let it be these, then you bless in the sight of God. Verses 7 said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let me give you some more attributes of Jesus. He was meek. He hungered after the riches God only gives. And he was merciful. That's attributes that you understand and need to carry and need to have. Too many of us say, we do hunger after righteousness. We hunger and thirst after our carnal desires. We hunger and thirst after everything that we want and God wants through you and in you. God wants to live through you. And through you, you got to understand what you got to have. Okay? Got to build that word. meek. You have to hunger thirst after of Jesus. Everything that Jesus has done, you have to hunger and thirst after. To hunger and thirst after the righteous heaven of God. And not only that, you have to learn to be merciful. Merciful to people who understand. Merciful to people that laugh at you. Merciful to people that hate and despise you. Merciful. Oh, goodness. Have you coming down? God, not Jesus. Jesus got to live through you. If he's got to live through you, all these rests, you have to handle them all. Understand? You got to be able to understand that Christ's character in you. If we met life of these qualities, you will find he modeled them all. And leave. We model all these as we yield our lives to his life. I want to say that one more time, because some of you might not have got it. We understand the qualities of the beatitude and how Jesus, without every one of these qualities, being said and together, we can understand that and he is in you, and he is through you, you model all not in you, but if you do it itself. But the Christ that lives in you and through you, that's the one that models every one of these beatitudes. Someone can say amen to that one. Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I do believe that Jesus' heart was pure. And he showed it throughout his entire life. And he shows it through you and I. The purity of his heart in you. Do you understand? So, let me take you through these first 6 Beatitudes. The first 3 Beatitudes deals with how we enter into the kingdom of heaven. How we enter into God's kingdom. First of all, we can only enter into the kingdom of God through humbleness. There's not a proud person that can enter into the kingdom of God. The proud and haughty spirit is what destroys the work of God. The proud and haughty spirit is what killed the first man. Amen? A proud and haughty spirit is what took us out of the Garden of Eden. Amen? So you cannot enter into this kingdom of God unless you are humble in spirit. That's the first beatitude. The second one, you must be broken. Broken. You must mourn. And I believe that the devil doesn't want you to be broken in your spirit. He wants you to have a proud and hearty spirit. He wants to take you away from God in any way and every way that he can. And you've heard it over and over again. When you cry, they laugh at you. Look at you. You're a man. Men do not cry. Well, I beg to differ with you. This man cries often in the presence of my heavenly Father. You know, sometimes I do mourn. Sometimes I mourn over the church. Sometimes tears just can't stop from flowing. I watched a movie in the book of Daniel, and I could not stop crying over the conditions of the Israel nation and all that our heavenly Father did for them. Even how bad they were, he was still for them. He was still working through, and that just broke my heart. And that's exactly what God wants you and I to do. Don't think you're so proud you cannot cry. You cannot mourn. You cannot be humbled, because God eventually will humble all of you. One day, we will all stand before God. And that might be the only day that you humble yourself and mourn. I hope not. Because according to the Beatitudes, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you've got to be humble. You've got to be broken. And you've got to be meek. Meekness. You've got to be meek to enter into the kingdom of God. So, the next 3 Beatitudes tells us of a new attitude. I think that's a good thing. They call them the Beatitudes. What we must be in the attitude that we have to enter into the kingdom of God. The Beatitudes, it deals with how our attitudes should be toward everyone around us. And it deals with how we express the kingdom of God to others. We must have a new attitude that is upward. We must hunger and thirst after God. We must hunger and thirst after his righteousness. Hallelujah. We must have a new attitude outward. Outward. That means we must learn to be merciful. Uh-oh. And that's where it hits a lot of Christians today. Mercy. Mercy. If my Lord had mercy on you, and on that cross, he cried out, "Oh Lord, forgive him for that." You know what he was doing? You said, "Well, that was to the people right there." No. You know what he was doing? He was crying out to you, to me, and to every human being on earth then and on earth today. Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. You know what that's saying? Lord, forgive you. God in heaven, forgive Jerry, because he does not know what he does. So we need to learn to have the same mercy that the Lord had on that cross. And the only way you're going to have that, you know, honestly, you can't have it. You can't. You can't. But remember, I talked about something when we started this message. God shows through you. Jesus shows through you. So the Jesus that is showing through you is crying out, "Mercy! Mercy! Mercy!" And it's him that cries through you that allows you to have mercy on others. It's not by anything, because we are not a merciful people. I am sorry to say it. But humanity, humanity, through all that we can do, we are not a merciful people. But if we allow Jesus that lives in us and through us to give us mercy, then we become merciful because of who? Who? Well, a couple of you got it. Who? Thank you. Stay with me now. So our attitude has not only needs to be upward. Our attitude not only needs to be outward, but verse 8 says our attitude must be inward. We must have a pure heart. A pure heart. And the only way your heart will be pure is if the Lord works and lives and acts through you. You can't have a pure heart without Jesus. So, do you understand where these, listen to the Beatitudes. I mean, come on. The Beatitudes not only tells you how to enter the kingdom of God, but gives you attitudes of what to do to help other people express the kingdom of God through you. But now we're going to get a little deeper. The next Beatitude teaches us how to enjoy. First of all, the first three teaches you how to enter. The second three teaches you how to express. And this one teaches you how to enjoy. And it says in verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Are you following me? Oh my goodness. A peacemaker tries to eliminate strife. Do you understand that? And there is a great need for this today in our nation, and specifically in our homes and in our churches. Why? You might ask, and I'll answer that for you. Because there are a lot of troublemakers. And troublemakers are the counterbalanced by the peacemakers. Did you understand? There are troublemakers in churches. Pastor Ray, am I right on that one? Or am I just being facetious? No. There are. I know there are. I pastored a church with a lot of them. I was looking for the peacemakers. And they were there too, by the way. The counterbalance was a little off-tilted a little, but anyway. Now, if you are saved and you are a citizen of God's kingdom, a child of the King, you ought to be a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. Right? One day, Lincoln was walking down the road with his two sons. They weren't a very happy pair of kids. They were fussing. They were fighting. They were throwing a fit. And somebody, as they were walking down in a house, overheard the trouble, overheard all the problem, opened the door, and said, "It sounds like your boys are upset today. What's the problem?" he asked. Lincoln said, "The same thing that's wrong with the rest of the world. I've got three walnuts, and each boy wants two." Do you understand that's what's wrong with our world today? Instead of being a peacemaker and taking one each, they both wanted two. And it wasn't going to happen. So in turn, they fussed, they fought, and they feud. Isn't that like the rest of our world today? We want more, we want more, we want more. James 1, 19 and 20 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of men does not produce the righteousness of God." Now, if I put the math together, and I'm looking around our audience this morning, every one of you have two ears, right? You only got one mouth, right? Do the math. You should hear twice as much as you talk. That was an amen corner, by the way. To a large degree, the difference between a peacemaker and a troublemaker is whether or not you have learned to control your tongue. Now, I'll take you to the last. I told you I'd get this done. I'm going to take you to the last beatitude, which is teaches us how to endure spite. And I believe that that is the hardest beatitude to understand. Verse 10 through 11 said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, that's amazing. That's astounding. And it's also unexpected. It was unexpected by the lips of our Lord Jesus to say this. Why in the world would Jesus associate the ultimate sense of happiness and joy with persecution? We aren't used to thinking this way, and yet Jesus said this. Blessed. Congratulations. It's a great compliment to you when you are persecuted. And every one of you are going to say, "What? I don't know what he's talking about." Of all these beatitudes, they've made us look at ourselves openly and ask, "Am I really empty? Am I truly broken? Am I under God's control in meekness? Do I have these new attitudes toward God, others, and myself? And am I truly a peacemaker? These have been very searching in our hearts. But I'm here to tell you that the one I'm talking about right now is the most searching among every Christian's heart. Why are the righteous persecuted? Why are the righteous persecuted? Why do we go through some of the things that we go through when the devil and all those that are followers of him live so good? Why? And I ask this question of myself. Have I ever truly been persecuted? I'm the only one that can answer for myself, and I'm asking you the same. Have you ever been truly persecuted? And if not, why? Now meddling. Why? And if so, then how did I respond? Did I rejoice and find motivation in it? Or did the devil get his way? And did I succumb to the temptation to become discouraged and clam up in the future? Did I retaliate? Did I try to get revenge? See, these are all things that, yes, can happen when you are persecuted, when you go through things that you think are unfair, when you are laid out upon that altar and people say things that are not very nice to you. How do you handle them? Wow. I can't answer that for you. That is something that you have to answer yourself. The Bible says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Bible doesn't say you might. The Bible says you will. You will go through things that are not right. That are not right. You will be persecuted. You will go through things that are, I've done it all right, Lord. I've lived by all the commandments. I've lived by the Beatitudes in you, and you live through me, Lord. Why do I go through this? You know, and I'm not going to tell you that I haven't prayed that prayer at times, but I thank God that he was merciful to me and understood me and helped me get through things in my persecution that I go through. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Do you understand that? So we're not to look at the persecution, but the glory that's going to take place after the persecution. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "Therefore," now listen to this one, "therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress. For whose sake?" Say that again. Christ's sake. You're not doing it for yourself. Because if you were, you would try to get revenge. You would be deceitful. You would try to do things bad. But you're not doing it that way. You're going through these times, according to Corinthians, you're going through these times for God's sake. And if you do it for God's sake, it says, "For when I am weak," what a statement. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Strong in who? You are strong in Christ. Now, if I can give you an example, I'll take a little time to do this. Missionaries throughout our world. How many of you understand Russia and what they went through? Persecution that they went through. Not so much today, but back in the day. Russia had, there was an underground church. Because that's all you could have. You should feel very privileged today that we're able to meet in this school. A school. Come on. We're putting the power of God in this school that helps the school all week long. Guess what? I don't believe God leaves when we leave. I believe he hangs around and says, oh, let's see what I can do on Monday with all these kids. You know? We're privileged. Well, in Russia, they weren't as privileged. And their meetings had to be done underground. Understand some of the things that went on in Russia during this time. If you were caught with a Bible, you could be shot or put in prison and enslaved in prison for years and years. If you were caught worshiping God in a building, everybody in that building could be shot on sight and no questions asked. There was no law. There was no tribunal. There was no court. They could come in as soldiers and shoot you. One evening, underground Russian church was having church. And all the people were in there singing to the Lord. The doors busted open. Bang! Five men with machine guns came in the church. Okay, we've caught you. We'll give you one chance. Denounce Jesus. Run out at this door and your life will be spared. He gave them a few minutes as the people contemplated, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He yelled it out, your time is running out. Denounce this Lord and get out of here. Slowly, a few left. Ran out the door, left. They said, okay, one more chance. One or be killed. A couple of more people. We didn't want a bunch of phonies. And God the praised phonies in this service. A wonderful service. These were Christians who has said American Christians. Whose door slammed in their face on visitation. At them if it admits them. For an hour. More marvelous what they think of American Christians. The world clear that the shadow of things come for us. Very well face extreme persecution. We've already deviated. Terms like, I don't know if you know what. But it's the hate of Christianity. We are, you know, I say to every one of those, guarantee every one of you, you really are to God. Slapped in the face. God is looking for people through the hill. Go, fill. I believe America, I believe it's coming. Handle. I do it. Well, if you can't get talk in place, we will not have to go through tribulation. But I do believe we will go through, and it sooner than you think. Place. Underlyingly taking place in America. It's not Christian. Today, we are according to Romans 8:29, is for every to draw. The Beatitude describes the qualities that every Christian should exhibit. A special soup depict that is whatever that follows. If you say, it is impossible to say one of God true, more will be at times. That is the case in mine. That what people are seeing is Christian. I think of one of the Beatitudes, not can't live to you. You can't alienate one. Down, each to measure my submission. Understand, it says, those of you that go through, you're not, some of you think, oh, wow, I'm going to get a lot of you. I was also figuring out if you're listening to me. God's to offer to any Christian. The world or nothing but pleasure. Empty. Movie star. But not being the only knowing where you're hidden. Time worrying about whether or not I am poor in spirit, meek and merciful, being submissive to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I will manifest of the Beatitudes. Careful and vindictive thing, and sure sign that I'm not walking in spirit. Day for day, when they are healed, they obtain mercy, they are called in a complete being born again. Before born in the hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit can make you whole, Holy Spirit, then and only then are you complete in God. Then and only then are you complete in God. Morning. No control and fill your life that he shows through. So what it looks like, Beatitudes. I ask you to talk to the Holy Spirit of God. Only way that you can experience a Beatitude. It is the only way the blessedness of Jesus is when you finally. But I've never experienced you. I've always tried to do it myself. I never tried to let you live through. Now I know. Those Beatitudes. That's exactly what the Lord wants. He right close. You said it's not safe between you and God. Are still working the word of Jesus in your walk, in your, everything you get school and kids say. It's a birthday for you. Or with CA. That's exactly to live. I do want that. I want Jesus to live through what I want me. If that different. A gunman came in the back door right there. If you stay in here, leave. Well, stay, Savior. I want to see a lot. And I'm going to tell you, if that could happen, it has happened. If you're not willing to accept that, those of you God's in your hand, perilous times, church. For in America, get you ready for it. Let the devil, because that's all you have. All you have is peace with you. And it's up to you to follow. I'm going to open these up and pray.
To thy prayer, precious feet of that I may once cry to live with him. Well, yes, show me with your way.
Praying for need, have a need, please call or tell me, let me, Abraham.